This is 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow us on Twitter at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A little extra effort could earn you a star.
Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe joins us on Zulak and Bertrand in our Town Fair Tire Studios. He is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MohegansUn.com. Hi again, Dan.
Hi again. Now you don't have to go to Mohegan Sun, right? You can just bet on anything.
Well, not yet.
Really? You'd actually go there for a sports book.
In fact, it appears
that
Mohegan Sun and others nearby will be the first ones
to get the sports
getting
book
going on this because Connecticut is rocking and rolling. They've already approved it. They had the legislation in place in anticipation of yesterday's ruling, a 7-2 ruling upholding the great document, the Constitution of the United States of America, that gives us that God-given right to gamble on sports,
right,
man. Okay?
I'm against it.
You are?
Of course.
Oh, you're a dope. And I'll explain to you later before we get to the end of your
Thank you, Beetle.
With us. Because that is insane. For someone who covers sports and makes a living on sports, this could be huge for sports.
Ugh.
It could make sports an even bigger entity than it is now.
Make sports bigger.
More ripe with corruption.
What corruption?
Dan.
Beetle.
Dan.
Beetle.
Yeah, I'll teach you things. I'll teach you things, Dan.
Thank you, 30-year-old.
33. All right. Just because you're old doesn't make you wise.
You're only 33, huh?
All right, Dan Shaughnessy is with us. Dan, your thoughts
same
on this?
LeBron.
Your thoughts? Yeah, we're the same age. Born the same year. What do you think of this series so far through one game?
I am so geeked up for this game tonight, I can't tell you. I mean, it's like...
It's a series, isn't it?
I mean, I talked to Max
You hate LeBron. You're not a LeBron guy.
I'm a LeBron lover.
You are a LeBron lover.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay. Love LeBron. LeBron.
Okay,
love.
Good.
Remember,
all
go LeBron. He had his drop. Go LeBron.
He's great. You love the great ones.
Yeah, I mean, In fact, I'm lucky I wasn't writing at the end of last week because I would have written the Sunday piece that he's better than Chamberlain, better than Jordan. And then he had that dog of a game on Sunday where he just was like observing or whatever the hell he was doing out there.
Yeah, you said last week he's the greatest ever.
Yeah, I am. I'm all in on LeBron. I am totally in. But so I'm fired up for this game tonight. I talked to Max yesterday and he said the winner of tonight's game wins the series. I agree with that.
Max has been saying this for a while. He's like, they're going to eliminate him. You're going to beat him.
Yeah, Van Gundy was on board
earlier. So Max said whoever wins tonight will win the entire series.
Yes.
That speaks to the importance of the game, too.
I think it's huge.
I said this earlier, Dan. I don't know if you heard it. But I said if Cleveland wins tonight, they'll have a 1-1 series lead.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, that's what they'll have.
It's one of two things happens. Either Cleveland rights the ship and establishes himself and does what they do. Because Beetle, when they get behind in games, they just say, that's it, we're not going to try. It's like in tennis, when they tank sets, they're down 5-1, they don't want to lose 6-4, they just lose 6-1, whatever, just get it over with and go on to the next thing. That's what the Cavs do with the old players. They see the handwriting on the wall, forget about it, we're not playing tonight. They lost Game 1 of the Indiana series by 18 points.
Oh.
They lost Game 6 by 30 or 35, and then they won the series the next day. And go back to the regular season, they lost to Toronto by 39 points one night. Nobody just mails it in like they do once they see the handwriting on the wall. That's what you saw on Sunday. I can't account for it. It was wire to wire all there. So tonight, either they come out there and get beat again, in which case the truths that appeared evident on Sunday will be real truths, which is Celtics just have better personnel at this time in history. Young guys who can play up on their people, and that Korver and Tristan Thompson and Love, that it's over for these guys. They had their time, but their time has passed, and it's the passing of the torch to the new generation, and not even LeBron can carry these stiffs all the way. Or they play like they can play. I mean, look what they did to Toronto. The Celtics had trouble with Toronto the last 2 years, name it, and they just obliterated them. They cut their hearts out, lost their will to live, all that stuff, in four games. I mean, Cleveland's capable, and I do like their veteran players. I think that it's Dart and Thompson tonight. I think that does help them. But they got to get more out of the other people, and LeBron has to be interested and pretend he cares about this thing, which I didn't see any of that on Sunday. So, but the Celtic thing, it's premature to get too all in on the Celtics just yet. I wrote about this today. I talked to Max about it because he played in both games. those of us old enough to remember, I mean, the first Mother's Day massacre, the Celtics beat the Sixers by 40 in Game 1 in 1982 and then lost the series. They lost a seven-game series at home. Very similar to this, they hit home. And at 1985, again, just when you were born, that is the year that the Lakers, the rematch with the Lakers, Celtics had their number, the defending champs. They beat them in the finals in 84. They come in 85. Lakers come in here. Game 1, the Celtics 148-114. Scott Wedman came off the bench, made 11-11 shots. Kareem, I compared him to Willie Mays in the 73 World Series, stumbling around center field, unable to do anything. It's over for him. And like a week later, the Lakers are holding the trophy in the Boston Garden, winning it in six, and Kareem is MVP of the series. So be careful to jump too far on this just yet. I don't know that these Cavs have that in them, but LeBron should have it in him. And we'll see if they can exert their will tonight.
All right. So aside from the series itself, there's been a lot of praise for Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Has there been too much praise?
I think people, you know, this notion, and you hit on some of this in the first hour, but the notion that he's as valuable as a player is not true. That is crap. This league's about talent. I mean, I will go that far in football because it makes a difference. But in this sport, it's nice, it's great, he's great, but no, please don't talk about him. About LeBron James, where he's worth a first-round draft pick or those kinds of things.
Here's Colin Cowherd. As I said, we're going to play another piece of Colin Cowherd sound. He makes an analogy about LeBron versus Brad Stevens and where they sort of fit into that.
Please.
The entire plan of Brad Stevens has been about beating LeBron. I don't know. LeBron's got, shall we say, loftier goals. Imagine being Steven Spielberg, the most decorated, iconic movie director in the history of Hollywood, and you somehow, as a young director, the Celtics, get a lunch with him. I'm sorry that when Spielberg drives to have lunch with you somewhere in Hollywood, he has to call his secretary and go, "And what's his name again? And why am I having lunch? Oh, his cousin knows somebody in our office? Okay." And then Spielberg hangs up and gets on another call with James Cameron, a movie director, and Tom Hanks. I'm sorry, Spielberg has loftier goals. Now, that young director, he's like, okay, should I order tuna fish? Would that be right? Maybe I should order a piece of fish. What should I wear? Oh, my God, honey, I don't know. I've been thinking about this. I couldn't sleep. I'm having lunch with Steven Spielberg. That's the Celtics. Yeah, I'm sorry here that this game yesterday didn't mean as much to LeBron. LeBron owns Brad Stevens. He owns Boston. Jason Tatum's a very good player for the Boston Celtics. We have a picture of Jason Tatum as a little boy with LeBron James getting his autograph. LeBron's offseason concerns are a dynasty, greatest of all time legacy. What stars can I connect with to change the galaxy of the NBA? Boston's offseason concerns, can we find somebody that can guard LeBron?
That is a Cowherd basically comparing the Celtics to LeBron as they're a nobody. As you heard, another beautiful Cowherd analogy. He is just loading up on analogies. That's what he does.
Yeah, that Spielberg thing had me going for
that's
a while.
What he always does. So LeBron is Spielberg, and Brad Stevens and the Celtics are no-name director starting up looking to get a lunch meeting with
who's
Spielberg.
Who's E.T.?
Well,
right, good question.
And then the part about Tatum and LeBron with the picture, that's sort of like Beatle and Drew Bledsoe, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So I will say this, I mean, this whole notion that the Celtics are a team of no names, and that, but you know what, 5 years from now when they look at this roster, Brown and Tatum are going to be like real big stars in this league, and they're going to say, well, you know, I remember when Manny Ramirez was a no name with the Indians, and he was batting seventh. Like, well, they got this guy, and you know, no one knew what that was. And I think that's a little bit with Brown and Tatum. I don't want to exaggerate them, but they are stars in this league. They will be big stars in this league, and they're number three picks. I mean, Jordan and McHale were number three picks, and they are emerging. People just don't know about them.
But yeah, they're not equals, right? I mean, I get it. Yeah. LeBron and Stevens are not equals. No one's making that case, but to say that they're, you know, no names, I mean, you could say. Okay,
we're
LeBron is Spielberg, and name a low-level director that's only done, you know, a few films, but people have heard of him.
That was a weird
Mark Cortese.
It just it takes it too far. I think the people on each side have gone way too far with this.
Yeah.
Someone that would suggest that they'd rather have Stevens over LeBron. I think you're nuts.
Oh, my God.
I think you're crazy. On the other side, to be upset that Stevens is getting praised. What is the problem with the coach getting praised for doing a good job?
Well, no one of any substance is actually saying that. I mean, no one... Like, we don't know that the Kyrie thing is for real. That was speculation.
You know where they get pissed if that was Steve Kerr and Steve Kerr was getting appraised with that roster. That's where that stuff would take life. That wouldn't take life here.
Steve Kerr had to take half a year off, and Walton came in and won every game. I mean, nothing against Luke Walton.
Because when you have the star lineup, it's the stars who win.
Yeah.
They need less coaching.
Casey Jones.
They need less of you. Exactly. Yeah. Casey Jones.
My God. Casey, what time is the game? I don't know. You know, I mean, he was great, but he was like, roll the
what
ball.
What did he really have to do?
Honestly, yeah, when they played the Lakers, he put Byron's, he had Dennis Johnson guarding Byron Scott and Danny guarding Magic, and the players just said,
no.
Yeah, go ahead, Case, knock yourself out. And they just fix it themselves.
You know? Just change it on the fly.
Yeah.
The players just decided we're going to do it differently.
Yeah. This is what we're doing.
And that's what happens when you have a star team.
Sure.
That's what happens. The stars on the floor just do what they want to do, and they run the show. Again, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Celtics, game two tonight against the Cavs. That is on the table. 617-779-0985. We'll keep talking about that. Also going to get to the Red Sox and the current state of affairs with that team. We'll talk to Daniel Wallach coming up at noon about the 7-2 ruling in the Supreme Court yesterday, legalizing sports gambling. We'll talk to a legal expert about that at noontime today.
Go, LeBron.
I do.
Scott Zolak. Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle, Zoe and the Beatle, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
Red Sox are back home. Opened up a homestand last night by losing to the Oakland Athletics. Is it wrong of me to feel like the Red Sox shouldn't be losing any games to the Oakland Athletics? That just feels like it's an underachieving type of night for the Red Sox.
Wasn't that the same guy that no-hit him?
I don't care.
You lose to him.
I don't care. Rick Porcello, not very good.
He pitched into contact again. A lot of contact going over the fence.
That might be where it ends. That's how I feel about this guy. He can go to stretch. He can go to stretch for 6 weeks and be fabulous. And then all of a sudden, one night it ends.
And they're out of first place now. The Yanks were idle and vaulted into first.
They get a half game.
Half game.
I mean, people are going to start bitching about Benintendi not getting that ball.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Mizzou and Jackie Bradley would have had that.
Oh, please.
They probably would have struck out four times.
I don't think there's a lot of people clamoring for JBJ to get back in the lineup. You know, I don't think.
Yeah, there aren't many defenders. I think we're kind of past that break point now. Defensive replacement late in games. That's what he's become.
I think Maz had tweeted that what you said, that Jackie Bradley would make that play.
Yeah. I thought that watching it. I'm like, ooh, I wonder if Bradley would have got that.
What am I supposed to feel about that?
I'd rather Benintendi not go full force into that wall and not hurt himself and give it up. You know? Give it up.
I mean, what? So because he makes that play, we now needed to deal with him in the lineup every day?
No.
Being the awful hitter that he is?
But, I mean, that's the only time a Bradley defender could come out.
That really shouldn't take Jackie Bradley Jr. to make that catch either.
He'd make it next time, understanding where the wall. It's like the first time he's actually gone into the wall that way.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe, but it doesn't take Jackie Bradley Jr. to make that play. I get it. It wasn't what you're looking for, but that's not what you need. Dan, what's going to happen with this Red Sox team when it comes to Blake Swihart? Because Blake Swihart is not playing, and he really is one of the few things the Red Sox may be willing to actually trade, I think, and maybe have that someone might actually want. Shouldn't another team want Blake Swihart?
Yes, I would think so. I mean, they've kind of really not done a service to him in any way in for themselves or him. And like when Pedroia comes back, just that alone, unless they invent an injury for Nunez or somebody, something's got to give there. And because, you know, Holt's done a good job. Holt's filled in. He's been the guy you want him to be, which I wasn't sure in spring training he would be, but he has been. And, you know, it looks like Vasquez and Leon, they're gonna go with the two. That's going to be that. So, yeah, Bradley becomes a thing. I still... They should have sold high on Bradley. Could have traded him.
Well, hold on. I mean, he even said this yesterday, too, and I said that, you know, that, like, last year was the time to trade.
Yeah.
And I think Beatles writing it. Well, who the hell was calling?
Who wanted him?
Well,
who wanted him?
Supposedly, wasn't there a thing with the Dodgers with Puig? You know, but that was no good. I mean, his name was kicked around.
And they should have moved him then.
Absolutely.
Is what they should have done.
Absolutely.
But then again, they didn't have the ability to fill the spot.
And did you read?
Now they do.
Alex Speer did a summation of the farm system yesterday, and it was bad. I mean, their top two, as we've referenced, Tommy John surgery.
Groom, down with the Tommy John.
Drug suspension.
And Chavers with the PEDs.
Teams are all getting crushed. I mean, I think Travis is hurt. It's just like a disaster down there.
I mean, you know what, though, Dan? I mean, they've made deals that have netted them.
Sure.
Kimbrel, Chris Sale.
Yeah.
Okay. It's netted them Kimbrel.
Yep.
They have turned them into quality.
They are built to win now.
It's not exactly. They're built to win now, which means they cannot waste any time with not helping that bullpen.
I know. Exactly.
They can't afford not to. The question is, what do they have that anybody wants? Wow. And I think Swihart is one of those few guys that another team says, hey, this guy is a player.
Yeah, he's the last piece.
Carrabas wrote about this yesterday, and he said back in 2011, in the MLB draft, the same draft that the Red Sox selected Matt Barnes in the first round, Henry Owens and Jackie Bradley Jr. as supplemental first rounders, Mookie Betts in the fifth round. Oh, Mookie didn't get taken until the fifth. And Travis Shaw in the ninth. They also selected a high school catcher with the 26th overall pick in the first round. It was Blake Swihart. Prior to the 2015 season, Swihart had been named the top catching prospect in baseball by MLB.com. That year, he made his major league debut on May 2nd. He hit .274 with an OPS of .712 in 84 games, with his only defensive position being behind the plate. A year later, after the Red Sox saw the aforementioned dumpster fire in left field that Hanley brought to the table, Ramirez was moved to first base, as Swihart was the team's opening day catcher. Swihart caught 6 games total in the month of April before moving to left field. He played 13 games out there before crashing into the wall, spraining his left ankle, which was really the last we've seen of him. He played in 6 games last year, went 1-for-5, but I'm sure most fans didn't even notice. He's played in 14 games this year, 28 plate appearances, 4-for-25 with a double, but has essentially just taken up a roster spot, which he says is not his fault at all. He says, being that he's out of contract options, he's stuck on a major league roster that already has 2 catchers. Carrabas, in his style, writes, albeit 2 catchers that haven't hit for bleep to start the year. However, the Red Sox greatly value Christian Vasquez's defense and his leadership behind the plate, while Sandy Leon has carved out a nice gig as Chris Sale's personal catcher. And the point of this story is, they've got to do something with this guy soon, and he's one of the few pieces they have. They should get on this now. And it sucks because the Red Sox have totally ruined what this guy could have been.
Oh, everything.
They completely butchered this situation.
They've hurt him as a player, and they've hurt themselves with their bargaining position on this. Both. It's just the misuse. In spring training, they had him at third base, second base, left field, occasional catching. And he's not a catcher at this point in his life. He'd have to go back there and work there in the minors, and they can't do that. So it's they're boxed in on this, and I agree. It would not surprise me if he's moved sometime before Pedroia is brought back.
I will say, though, that there was a report that he was working on catching drills with Veritek up in Toronto.
I'm sure. Veritek's been traveling. He seems to like it a little bit.
Yeah, that's someone who dug out in Toronto.
But this Beetle, I'm no scout, but this guy's not a catcher. I mean, my small sample, I don't believe it.
See the tweets coming out of Pawtucket, but Pedroia's hustle in and out of the dugout, spreading off the field.
Ooh.
It's like little Charlie Hustle's back. Yeah, I guess he put on a full on spread from the Capitol Grill down there.
I see.
For his teammates.
Squared up
three
balls.
Very unlike David Price down there.
Oh, yeah. Very
good
nice.
Little teammate.
Yes.
Little leader.
Camaraderie. Way to go.
617-779-0985. Still talking Celtics as well. John is in the car on that. Hi, John.
John.
Hey, John.
John!
Hello?
Hey, go ahead.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I just want to ask you to talk about Tristan Thompson and setting him into the opening lineup. I think it's a good move for the Cavaliers, but I don't understand what Brad Stevens is going to do. I think he'll keep Marcus Morrison and reinsert Baines.
okay, starting lineup tonight, do you reinsert Baines or do you keep Marcus Morris starting lineup? Well, yeah, I keep Morris in the starting lineup.
Yeah, just to get in LeBron's head a little bit or something else, because LeBron's clearly hacked off about that.
I think you get more out of Morris when he's in the starting lineup.
Yep.
Yeah. I think you get a better version of him when he's in that lineup.
Talked about this yesterday. Beatles, right?
He's been good.
He shoots less.
He understands the four he's on the court with.
Yeah.
You put him in with the backups, he's like, I'm the guy. I gotta launch.
A lot to like about Morris at this point.
Love him. He's got good attitude.
Well, yeah. Based on game one, there's a lot to like.
An edge. There's that Marcus Smart.
I've liked him. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's a tough guy edge that you need in these type of series.
Right, and I don't feel you got the best game out of Marcus Smart in game one, but you had Morris to sort of make up for that.
Do you see what you potentially be in store here for? Like, did you watch any of this game last night?
I did watch some of that game.
Did you watch Golden State get physical and push them around?
Yeah.
When did they start being a physical team?
I predicted Golden State in five on that thing. I'm still saying them in five. They're just better. I'm not a Houston guy. Harden's overrated. He's all so far away from the basket, and he doesn't impress me as a very good teammate either. Not in on Harden. Don't like him. Warriors win in five.
Big swing game tonight, Celtics and Cavs.
Series game, baby.
And you can catch that live right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, with that tip-off coming at some point in the 8 p.m. hour. Somewhere in there. You know how these games go. Yeah, we're going to start at 8:30. Nah, it's more like 8:50. So tonight, the game right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, with Grandy and Max. It's game two. It's probably the most important game of this series at this point. Big swing game on tap tonight. You like God Bless America, Dan? You think that's a good song?
At this point in time, I could take it or leave it.
Would you stop playing it at Fenway?
Well, I think everyone's playing it everywhere, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Cross baseball.
No one wants to be the one to stop doing it. It'll make you un-American.
All right, we're going to hit on that story again.
Why don't you move the
which
camera?
We hit on yesterday. The playing of God Bless America at Fenway Park, which happens on Sundays and holidays. Sundays and holidays are the day. They don't do it every day. It's Sundays and holidays that they play it at Fenway Park.
Yankees do it every day.
The Yankees are, yeah. Well, they've also been obnoxious with, the six-minute live versions.
Oh, America's team.
Which, oh, God, here we go. Yankee fans.
George Steinman was born on the 4th of July.
Was he?
That's where all that came from.
All right, then.
You hate the 4th. That's nice. Yeah.
Yank my doodle. It's a dandy. I mean, he's a Yankee doodle dandy.
Yes, exactly. Hardy has our headlines. Don't go anywhere.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
White with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Is there an Aaron Neville version?
That's a good question.
God bless America.
I hear that song and I think, who's the guy who just died from Full Metal Jacket? The Bailey Arley, what's his name?
Arlie Ermey. Yes.
Hey, Paul, do you like this song? Ermey. Does this song make you happy?
Yes.
Get up, pile.
I don't think they talk about this song.
They didn't say that, but you know what I'm saying. Hmm. The core. God loves you.
Country core family.
There's an update to this story.
What do you got?
And that is that despite the report that Howard Bryant had, that a high-ranking Red Sox official said that, he doesn't know why, or he or she doesn't know why they still play the song, but they know that they'd get killed if they stopped playing the song. According to a Red Sox spokeswoman, Zineb Karn, there have been no discussions about discontinuing God Bless America at Fenway Park, which we play on Sundays and holidays. That is their statement. Do you know that doesn't deny or contradict what the person said? And this is to Hardy's point. Hardy made a good point in this yesterday. This person didn't explicitly say I don't want to do it anymore, or that we shouldn't do it anymore. Why do you play the? Why do you play God Bless America? Oh, I don't know. Well, okay. Any other thoughts on it? Well, I know we'd get killed if we didn't play it. That doesn't mean there's been a discussion about ending it, or that they've even given it any thought, other than a reporter asked the question about it specifically, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that true, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think it was?
I think it's pretty high.
You think it's pretty high?
How high?
You know, I've mentioned before...
How high there, Panama Red?
I've mentioned before the foreword to, or maybe even chapter one. I want to look this up.
It's high.
Howard Bryant's...
You sound like you know.
Like, well, he's got a theory.
He's connecting dots.
This is like boat ownership high? Vessel?
No!
Does he sail the seven seas on the Iroquois? It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I don't know. Could be high. Could be the owner himself.
Could go as high as Thurston Howell III.
You know what's weird about that show? So you got, talking about Gilligan's Island.
Right.
So you got the professor.
That. Yeah.
He was a really smart guy. You got all his money with Thurston. Like, they had a really nice hut. So
really nice.
This guy was
top-notch hot.
This guy was so smart. He could build transistor radios and stuff and all this and all these high-tech stuff and make it out of coconut shells and peanut shells or whatever the hell he puts together.
Why couldn't they?
Why can't you build
boat? Why can't you
build
fix
a boat?
Three-foot
Why don't you fix
that
the boat?
The
boat's
question.
Over there. Go fix the boat.
No, it's like Charlie and the MTA.
Well, the show would have never worked
if he fixed
the boat.
Why did his wife just give him a nickel when she went down to give him a sandwich every day? You know,
ruins the story.
Supposedly somebody this is why somebody liked that movie Castaway with Tom Hanks so much, because you love Gilligan's Island and they never talked during Castaway, but yet I could sit there for 3 hours and watch Castaway.
Okay. Wilson.
Okay.
Wilson.
Do you think that the person who did say this though was saying it because they don't want to play it anymore?
Of course, that's why you say it.
Yeah, I think that would motivate. That would be the motivational.
So even though they didn't explicitly say it, there may be someone who doesn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, maybe he's played out.
It could be. Hey, we're changing street names. Let's keep looking as to what else we could change.
Again,
get bored.
How many
higher
ups
get bored?
Sunday games.
Need to change something.
How many of these? I mean, really, when you add it up, how many times a year are they playing it? If it's Sundays and holidays only,
it'd be like 15,
if that.
That seems like an odd thing to start really paying attention to. Like, yeah, we got to do away with God Bless
America.
Oh, they're
bored now. Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you? Who gives that level of thought to that particular activity?
Are they only doing it on
Sundays and holidays?
Sundays
and holidays only.
Sundays and holidays.
That's
this
a correction from yesterday. It's not every game.
Well, who cares?
Sundays and holidays only.
Which makes it even more of a, now it's an issue inside.
Doesn't that seem...
What a non-issue.
Exactly. Yeah. It's odd. It's an odd thing to go after.
Are they playing in London on a Sunday? Because that's
a
home game.
Oh, I don't think they are. I don't know if they are playing.
I tried to make the London point yesterday.
But I don't understand why you got to think about
it. I got laughed at.
Well, what was your point that you were trying to make yesterday?
I don't know. Maybe you're just trying to keep everybody happy. And, you know, maybe this is America and I got interest in London and I have soccer teams and we got games.
I wish you would have said it that coherently yesterday.
We've got games. We're playing the Yankees there next year. I mean, we got two games.
Do you think Prince Charles will meet Dr. Charles when they're in London?
Did you write that in a column already?
I think
Prince Charles meets Dr. Charles.
Is this like that ice machine?
I'm sure you did.
Wouldn't it be something?
I'm sure you did.
If Prince Henry met John Henry.
Well, according to one of our callers, the song, God Bless America, was a ripoff of a British song.
Of course.
According to one of our callers yesterday.
Yeah, I'm covering the Red Sox Yankees. I'm staying at
that, but,
staying at the Prince's Palace, meeting Prince Spaghetti. And
Dan nailed it, by the way. It's 15.
15.
There's 13 Sunday home games, and then the 4th of July.
So 81 home games.
And what else?
Memorial Day, right?
What's the percentage there? Yeah. 81 home games?
15 games. 15 times a year they do it, and they're giving it thought. It's bizarre. It really is. Red Sox thoughts. Kim in the car. Hi, Kim.
Hey there, guys. Maybe you can help me out here. My husband just laughs at me when I bring this up. But
what did he say?
We got to get Devers off third base. He's a hitter. I'll give you he's a hitter. Oh, come on.
No, your husband's right. I'm laughing at you, too. Sorry.
Dan, you have to help me because you know my husband, too.
Well, here we go, then. Okay, Kim, if you want Devers off third, who do you want on third?
Yeah, where's Devers going is my question.
Where's he going and who are you replacing him with?
Don't you dare say Brock Holt. Don't you dare say Brock Holt.
What's that?
I was going to say Brock Holt.
No, Devers. Wait, and you're gonna take Devers out of the lineup?
Devers is a force.
No. We got to put him somewhere because he is a hitter. But
where? That's my question. Where are you gonna put him?
Put a catcher.
There's nowhere to put him.
Can we put him in outfield?
No. Are you kidding?
Wait.
No, he's a load. You can't put him out there. No, he's.
I can't believe her husband's laughing.
You have to kind of go through the process here. I mean, George Brett was really bad over there at first. It takes a while. So, and he's rough, no question, he's rough. But his bat, the upside is the ceiling is so high on his offense that you found a place for him, and that's it. And you already logjam at first base, DH, all that stuff. You have all these guys. Nope, he's got to stay there. Sorry, your husband's right. Now I'm up there laughing with him.
Do you want to know where he ranks among third base? We don't know if I'm going to go to the advanced metrics and use UZR.
I'd say he's last or next to last. Probably.
No, he's not.
All right, beautiful.
He's seventh in the American League.
Wow. Oh, so he's in the middle. That's great. You're
middle
way
of the pack.
You're way ahead of the pack.
And he actually took a recent dip because as of about a week ago, he was top five. He was like number three in UZR.
Then those stats really aren't very good.
Well, he's butchered a few things since, so that's why it's been brought down. But he's currently seventh.
You know what he is? He's fairly nimble, Beetle.
Here you go again. He's a little bit of a chubby guy. It's okay. Nothing wrong with him.
Get that fat face.
The Cabrera body.
He can mash.
Oh, my God.
He can absolutely mash.
Yeah, they're getting him with the high cheese a lot. He's going to lay off the high cheese.
Yeah, he'll
stop
learn.
Eating the cheese.
He'll learn. You know what it is? He's a guy, Dan, who can hit a ball out of the zone. And that's why he chases that stuff, because there's going to be a time in his career when he gets a hold of that and puts it out of the ballpark.
Yeah, did it to Chapman last year.
Right.
Two strike count.
That's why he does it, because he's one of those bad ball guys. Yeah. He can just hit everything. Yeah. It's like Vlad Guerrero, right? The guy used to swing at everything.
Oh, everything.
Swing at everything and swing hard.
Were you at the game last night, or were you watching?
I was watching on TV.
Yeah, were you thoroughly entertained with the Johnny Gomes forced... commentary and laughter.
No, he's killing me.
Shtick's getting old, isn't it?
Oh, he's killing me.
Celtics thoughts, Red Sox things, as well as keeping God Bless America or ditching God Bless America.
Gomes,
you want to talk about that? We can do that as well. We're going to talk to Daniel Wallach at noontime about the legalization of sports betting, which for some reason Dan Shaughnessy is against.
Because I am not an agent of change.
That's coming up.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Michael is in Braintree. He's up next on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
I just think God Bless America is very, very invigorating when you go to any sporting event.
Yep.
It's really nice to hear, and especially if the veterans are in the crowd. They enjoy it. I could see that in my son when I took him to a Red Sox game. And I think you guys are the best show on.
Thank you.
The radio, I don't listen to the other shows, just Zoe and Beetle. When you guys are talking about like doing away or not doing away with God Bless America, I think you guys could take a poll and do away with Shaughnessy.
He's here. You can talk to Dan if you want.
That seems harsh.
What don't you like about Dan?
What's the matter?
What's the matter, Mike?
Well, I just think you got to have a strong bag to have a male in your family. That's what I think.
A what?
A strong bag. I don't know. A bag that you carry out of the store that doesn't rip?
Is that a saying? I don't understand that.
I don't know. Dan, do you like the 4th of July? Do you like?
Well, it's in the summertime, so that's usually a negative
thing.
For him.
It's a heat thing.
So heat, holiday, and flag stuff, it's just, that doesn't make
sense. It's just not a summer guy.
I understand.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have to do away with Dan, but I think we could do a lot more God Bless America talk.
God bless our gracious king, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, big wedding's coming up.
We don't have to take all of his suggestions, but let's try and do a couple segments each day on God Bless America.
Yeah. It's invigorating.
It's invigorating.
Yeah, I agree. I think that God Bless America at a baseball game gets a better reaction than the anthem does.
Yes,
it's in the middle of the game. It gets a better reaction.
It's got a bunch of tension.
Yes,
well,
it's a far better experience than the anthem.
It makes you stand up straight.
It's a better song. The Star-Spangled Banner, in terms of anthems, and we talked about this, like, you're an O Canada fan just in terms of the song?
Better song.
Most people are.
Yeah.
It's a good song. The Star-Spangled Banner is tough to sing, tough to remember the words. God Bless America, it's kind of catchy. So,
it's the land
just
that
in
you
terms
love.
Of the song itself, I think people maybe enjoy it more than the national anthem, Star-Spangled Banner. Let's get the game going. Come on. Let's go.
Oh, say, can you see? Like, why do you even start it that way? Like, oh, say, why do you even? Doesn't make sense.
Well, I'm glad you asked. Francis Scott Key was asking himself, rhetorically, if you will, Scott, yeah. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed?
Like, you just bought some land. You've acquired land. You love land. Land that I love.
Oh,
you love your land.
Oh, I love my land. It's a better experience. They should not do away with it.
Makes me think of mountains and, you know, everything across, you know.
If you had to pick one. You get the anthem every game before a game, like we've done forever, or you can have the God Bless America 15 times a year. What are you taking?
God Bless America
15 times a year. Yeah. We can do the anthem some other time. That's what I would say.
Sure. I would not go there.
You know what you're going to do away next? Play ball.
I'm just telling you what's a more patriotic experience, and I can tell you that God Bless America is.
You probably like taking out the ball game.
Fighting words.
There's some anthems that are very, you know, not necessarily every baseball game, but like some of those hockey games, the anthem is pretty powerful.
I was just talking about baseball games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
No. We can't do away with the hockey games. I love O Canada.
They're great.
You want to do away with the anthem? You want to do away with the anthem?
No, not in all sports.
Now, do you know that our anthem?
Just in baseball, 162 games.
Our national
that's a
anthem?
Lot of anthems.
Our national anthem is the only one song about the country where it doesn't mention our country in it. Like O Canada,
hockey, maybe we save it.
It
for the playoffs. Maybe we'll do it for just the playoffs.
I got that from an email. Email of the day yesterday from Good Listener. Update you guys on the Star-Spangled Banner. Doesn't even mention America and
so you're saying of
USA.
All national anthems.
Of all national anthems.
Every
of all
other
countries.
Anthem mentions the country in some way.
Yes.
The country.
Yes.
How many other anthems you know?
I think God Save the Queen. O Canada. What's the French one?
France mentions France.
Australia, song Down Under, international anthem.
No, they don't.
That
I Met at Work is the national anthem?
Yes.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
Toto is.
What's the next lyric in that song, Hardy?
Toto's got Africa.
I come from a land down under where women
go and men thunder.
Can't you hear the thunder?
You better run. You better take cover.
That's right.
Paul in the car. Hey, Paul.
Hey.
What do you got?
Hey.
Paul. Hey, I'm on.
You're on.
Hey, you're on.
So I'm just tuning in. I guess you guys, I'm assuming you're kind of following up on Sweet Caroline, chatting about
Tom. Not really.
No, that's an old topic. That's
we're
a,
off that. That's just,
that topic
that's
was like
unmitigated
10 years
disaster.
Ago. And the Globe caught up to it this week, finally.
Yeah, Globe actually wrote something about it about 5 years after the fact. People got sick of it.
They got it past the Henry Pizzuti censors to get that one through.
Well, as I was listening in, I was reminded I lived in Chicago for a while, and I don't know if you guys have ever caught a rendition of Go Cubs Go, but that's not
it. Oh, my God, I love it.
Go Cubs Go.
Hey, Chicago, go what Cubs, do you go. Say?
Cubs Go.
Devin and Revere,
my favorites. What's up, Dev?
Hey, what's going on? I think we should get rid of Sweet Caroline, the pathetic pink cat tradition we have, rather than God Bless America.
We all agree.
I'll hang up and let you talk.
No, we all agree.
Yep.
That ship sailed. We all agree.
Unanimous. Unanimously. Get rid of it.
Yes.
Dumb Sweet Caroline. That's good, though. The Globe caught up on that story finally.
Must have signed off on it.
Do you think that's what it is? Do you think it's a forward PR piece?
I don't know.
As someone who's making a move to move on from the song?
I do not know.
We had Sam Kennedy on this show probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. And we asked him about it then. And I know that he'd been asked about it before on, I think,
he's got
it at one point,
tiptoe lightly.
The tourists love it. That's the problem.
What tour?
Who cares
the
about what
the tour? The ballpark.
What
the people who pay for Fenway tours.
You had a baseball game or you...
When they come to Boston, they're
out of towners?
The people who insulate them against, you know, dipping attendance, which is tourists. Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
It's like,
is that what saves them every season?
If they have a bad year, they can always count on that. It's a destination. It's like the Freedom Trail. People get off the plane, they got to go see Fenway. They want to hear that.
They want to go to Fenway. They want to hear Sweet Caroline. It's like going to Disney World wanting to see Mickey and Minnie.
The John Harvard statue in Harvard Yard, which you do not touch the boot because the students pee on it. Because they know all the stupid tourists. Yeah, all the tourists are out there touching the boot.
Okay.
Tips for your life.
That's funny. Nancy. I laugh.
It's like a John Tesh radio show.
I laugh because down at the University of Maryland, they have Testudo, the bronze turtle statue. And his nose is completely rubbed. It's shiny because everybody goes in. The myth is you rub Testudo's nose and you have great luck for 4 years. And every time you pass it, you have to touch it. It's like tradition.
So the people who want to.
There's some pictures floating around as to what's been done with Testudo's nose.
Right.
So sort of like the boot. That's why I chuckled the boot.
Coming up next, we will talk with Daniel Wallach about the Supreme Court's decision to make sports gambling in this country legal. That's coming up right after these headlines.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.